The road from where Dan began life to where he was now had not been an easy one. There had been pain and poor decisions. Plans had been made, then either changed or forgotten. He'd lost people along the way, some because he'd driven them off and others because they'd wandered off of their own accord. It happened. The circle with which people surrounded themselves was not always comprised of the same faces. He'd raised a family, but his wife had died, ripping the soul from it. Now his son and daughter were on the other side of the country, while he was in Idaho, of all damn places, a stranger in a strange land. He'd come there to settle his best friend Carl's estate and been trapped by events beyond his control. Information was scarce, but it appeared to have been an EMP, an electromagnetic pulse, which the North Koreans hid beneath the cloak of a massive solar storm event. It left an unknown portion of the country without power or any functioning electronics. Life was hard, but Dan was adapting as best he could. Dan figured the best thing he could do for his kids at this point was to sit out the disaster and hope he'd raised them right. They were adults, after all, out there in the world living their own lives. Getting himself killed on a cross-country journey wouldn't help them in the long run. He'd have to assume that the lights would come on eventually, and the nation would recover, and he could drive back home like none of this ever happened. Air travel would probably resume at some point, too, but Dan wasn't getting on a plane again. Ever. Dan sat in a creaky Adirondack chair on the wraparound porch of Holly's cabin. It wasn't actually her cabin, but had belonged to her ex-husband. When the electromagnetic pulse knocked the lights out, Dan had escaped Boise with Holly, and they'd come to this cabin because they didn't know where else to go. Boise was going down the tubes fast, and things were dissolving into chaos. Sticking around a city, even a small one, was a good way to die, and Dan wasn't interested in dying right now. There'd been points in his life where he hadn't cared if he lived or died, but this wasn't one of them. Right now, life had promise. It had peace, and he was at the age where he could appreciate the inherent value of those things, even when he had little else. The sun hadn't yet risen over the slopes of Greylock Mountain, but it was close. The stark peak was silhouetted by morning light steadily growing bolder. Dan had a sleeping bag thrown across his legs and was enjoying what was perhaps the most beautiful scene he'd ever beheld in his life. The cabin they were staying in had been built back in the 1950s in a pristine alpine meadow nestled among wooded slopes and harsh rocky peaks. Back in the day, before the government became so intrusive and started requiring permits for everything, the man who'd built the cabin had constructed a large pond that ran right up to the porch. The pond was stocked with trout and fed by a cold mountain stream. Since arriving at the cabin 2 days ago, Holly and Dan had not done much beyond eating, resting, and getting to know each other. They were still relative strangers, thrown together by circumstance rather than familiarity. Their bond was formed more out of a gut feeling and the fact that neither of them had anyone else to rely on. Their partnership was forged more by situation than any other factor, though they were both Tennesseans and found some inherent kinship in that. Neither had chosen the other. Instead, the world itself had thrown them together, placing them alongside each other on this journey, and they were in no position to question its wisdom. It had been a rough trip from Boise to Atlanta, Idaho, high in the Sawtooth Mountains. Dan had made the epic walk on injuries he'd received in Boise. Blinded by a sense of Tennessee honor, he'd tried to kill the man who'd taken his best friend Carl's life, and in the end that man had nearly killed Dan. Even though it wasn't Dan who pulled the trigger on Carl's killer, hillbilly justice had been served in the end. A man who needed to die was dead, and Dan was free to move on with his life. Recovering from those injuries and from the walk to the mountains would take a while. Dan hurt from head to toe, from blister to bruise to bump on the head. In fact, it had been the soreness in his body that made it hard for him to sleep at night. He'd awoken early, crept out of the cabin, and settled into his new favored chair in his new favored spot. He'd fished from this porch yesterday and caught their dinner. The eager trout, perhaps unused to any fishing pressure at all, took his lure with a simple trust that almost made him feel guilty, like he was eating a pet. Pet or not, it tasted delicious, breaded and fried, and his body needed the protein.